Oh, it's my fault. It's my fault that only had one ear. I thought we had the one ear thing, but it's my fault. Ham. Yes, it is. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just a good morning. It's Friday morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday. Gotta get down on Friday morning. Welcome in, my dudes, my dudettes, my amigos, my amigettes. Spectacular to have you here on a Friday morning as we get the final episode of the week underway. My name, Rob Brown. His name, the great one, Lonzo. We are ever so glad to have you here along for the ride. The next 4 hours of fun and shenanigans getting their start right now. And what a day we have lined up for you, this beauty of an AM. We're just vibing today, kids. Just vibing today. Good vibes only, by the way. We're vibing. And it's only the good vibes on a Friday. Got to get down on Friday.
I thought you were going to say good vibrations. I thought you were going to go Mark
good
and Mark.
Good vibrations. Bum, bum, bum. It's just a sweet sensation. I'm struggling today, man. We had the first hockey game. We had a preseason game on Wednesday. And as the in-arena on-ice host for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, it had been a minute since we'd done a hockey game. And Zoe, your boy left it all out on the ice on Wednesday night. Left it all out on the ice. Got a little raucous, a little rambunctious, a little energetic.
When you haven't been in front of the crowd for a while and then you're out there, I mean, I get it.
It's a good crowd, too. Real good crowd on Wednesday night for a little fry or a little preseason footy. Preseason hockey, not footy. We're mid-season footy.
Well, they could hit the puck with their feet. That's legal, right?
That is legal, yeah, as a matter of fact. But it's not a ball though. So, I did say footy, not football.
You did.
Yeah.
You
so
did.
We're good. We're good. No, it was out there.
What is this shirt? Is this someone I should know?
It is. This, of course, the mayor of Margaritaville. The originator of the cheeseburger in paradise.
I think when I think of Jimmy Buffett, I think of old Jimmy Buffett.
As a young Jimmy Buffett, a younger Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy was probably in his like 40s or 50s at this point.
Well, if he's in his 40s, it's still younger to me. So, I mean, I just picture him with like no hair and but stuff.
This is early Margaritaville, Jimmy. Let's see. When did Margaritaville?
I'm gonna go. He's like 32 or something at that time.
Let's see. Margaritaville came out in 1977. Let's see. Jimmy Buffett was born in 1946, so he was in his 30s, early 30s at this point. And I tell you, I could have been a really kick-ass 1970s singer-songwriter.
Hey, I was 9 then, so yeah, I was around during that with the butterfly collars and all the bell bottoms and stuff. A lot of fun to skate with bell bottoms. If they're longer bell bottoms, it can be
a
problem.
Did you ever disco?
Not only did I disco.
Were you good at it?
Of course.
Do you still, could you do it today? Could you break it? If I said right now, disco dance off to win another SCBA award, could you get on the floor and boogie?
I can boogie, oogie, oogie till I just can't boogie no more. But here's the thing. You know, I also got a knee.
Can we just only play disco songs today?
I got a knee and a hip and you know, and some things. My mom, big disco dancer. Went out to the clubs to do the disco dancing, the disco clubs. And unfortunately, I had to be her partner at home so she could practice. And sometimes she would bring friends over and she'd learn the latest dance and make me get up and dance with her. So yes, I'm well aware of the disco.
People I love the world.
One of the first albums I bought, a double album from Denny Terrio, teaching you how to disco.
People I love the world, join in. To the love train. I'm going to doubt. Now I just want to hear disco music all day. No reason. Do you remember when Kiss did disco and everybody called it Kisco and it was terrible?
I was made for loving you, baby.
I was made for loving you, baby. You were
disco
made
gets a bad it gets a bad rap.
It's a vibe, bro.
It was definitely. It was everywhere, and you know, there's always someone who gets tired of something because it's popular.
Here's the thing: how would you? Because I just for the fun of it, you know, when you think disco, right? Give me like your like top three disco songs that come straight to the noggin.
Well, they're all from the Bee Gees, of course, probably.
Really?
Yeah. Well, Staying Alive.
Really?
For sure. I Will Survive. Not that's not a Bee Gees song, but that was also a disco song.
It's not Gloria Gaynor. Big fan.
Let's see.
Or Cake.
Cake do a version.
Cake
of
did
that?
A cover. I Will Survive. Oh, that's yeah, the band my. Version have, of my band, please.
I have heard
it's dope,
that
it rocks.
Yeah, Chris played that a lot in the office.
I like Cake's version of I Will Survive better than Going the Distance.
Yeah, but Chris would always do this weird dance when he would play it. So it's very odd. So I still need a third song. I guess Boogie Oogie.
You may
all
submit
night.
One BG yeah. song. Give me the other two.
I did. I said I Will Survive and then Boogie Oogie.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great song.
Banger. Not mad about it at all. Give me a little Boogie Wonderland, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I feel like I got to have one song that says disco in it. Burn, baby, burn. The disco inferno. Burn, baby, burn.
You just want to
burn, baby.
Get to
burn.
Your favorite part.
Hey, disco inferno. Burn, baby, burn.
You're not saying burn that mother down. I figured that was your favorite part. So.
Do, 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 do. Well, Funky Town? It's always good. It's always good. It's just like, were you cognizant of the point in time where disco like became uncool? Right? Because like, there's two ways that genres of music go away. Either they just kind of fade out because other things pop up and start to eat away the territory. A or B, they start to actively become uncool.
Well,
disco was in that category.
Keep in mind, kid to preteen during disco going into 80s music when I was a teenager. So when there's a transition as you're transitioning into a teenager, you notice it more because then your music changes and that's your music.
I'm looking at a list of, I just
Joe throwing
in,
out Disco Duck. Yeah, that was a...
That's a take right there. That's a take.
That was a DJ... Rick Dees, who said,
Rick
can
who?
Do that. I can do that.
Rick who?
I don't get it. I don't.
Dees?
Dees. I don't get it.
Nick Saban would appreciate a joke about Rick Dees.
Eyebrow, that's weird.
Rick Dees.
I'm not looking anymore. It's
got
odd.
Him. I'm looking up. I just because I wanted
did
to see.
You actually think I was going to go there with you?
I didn't know. I was seeing if you were, how you were feeling this morning. Somebody listed Heart of Glass.
Yeah,
by Blondie is disco. That's fine. I don't have an issue with that.
That's for sure
but,
disco.
But on this website that's listed the 100 best disco songs, which they include Heart of Glass by Blondie, their description is, Blondie's Heart of Glass is a disco classic that will have you dancing like you just won a big lawsuit against your ex. What an incredible description of Heart of Glass.
It sounds like inside information that I'm unaware of.
Is Celebration a disco song?
See, I don't think so. There's a fine line between funk and disco, and you know, funk is eternal, even though disco died. I mean, those guys were just still playing the same stuff. It just happened to work out that it was during that era. I never really thought of them as disco.
How would you describe disco music? ChatGPT says, disco music is a vibrant and upbeat genre that emerged in the 1970s, characterized by its danceable rhythms, catchy melodies, and lush production. It often features a steady four-on-the-floor beat, syncopated bass lines, and orchestral elements like strings and horns. Disco songs typically have a lively, celebratory vibe, focusing on themes of love, nightlife, and freedom. The genre became synonymous with dance clubs and the iconic nightlife culture of the era, influencing fashion and popular culture significantly. It's all about getting people on the dance floor and creating a sense of joy and community. Cool. I'm in.
And
told
then,
you. Good vibes only, baby.
And then someone got angry about disco. And it was a DJ, and he decided to, you know, destroy disco in one night. And
one guy took down disco?
At a baseball stadium.
Who killed disco?
And they, like, told people to bring their disco tapes and stuff, and then they ran over it with something.
In a notorious promotional stunt, a Chicago DJ named Steve Dahl detonated.
I knew it was something. I knew
detonated a dumpster filled with disco records between White Sox games at Comiskey Park, leading to a riot. Years later, Dahl claimed that disco was, quote, probably on its way out, end quote, but admitted that his stunt, quote, hastened its demise, end quote.
Radio people, man. I mean, come on.
See, this is why I tell you to actively avoid hot take artists. That's the reason right there. Because hot take artists do not care about quality of life. They just care about attention. And here's the thing. You, me, nobody else would have known who the hell Steve Dahl was. He decided to take down an entire genre of feel-good, joyful, community-based music in order to make a name for himself, and it worked! Stop listening to hot take artists.
You also got to keep in mind, the internet was not a thing. It was way
from Napster back in the day.
Right, so...
You had to go to the record store.
So people were actually listening to radio a bunch in that area in order to show up and bring their disco stuff. So dude had to have a pretty big following, and in a big city. I mean, that helped too. And then, of course, the news picked it up. That's the only way that it became a thing.
Steve Dahl, you suck.
He was though. It was probably on its way out. And then because of...
No. It was on its... It had made its way into the cyclical nature of America. Because here's this thing that's happening.
The circle of life.
It is. And that's true. Like, everything is cyclical. College football is cyclical. The NFL is cyclical, unless you're the Cleveland Browns, and then you're just always in the dumpster. Funny enough, is lit on fire and should be detonated. Last night I was introduced by the wife to a new artist by the name of Chapel Rowan. Have you heard of this individual?
I have heard of them, but I'm not sure I've heard their music.
Okay.
To the point that I don't know if they're male or female, and the way that you worded it, there's no way to know.
I believe
she's a girl, right?
It is. She is. And I am going to tell you that we listened to a couple of her songs last night.
It's a good
including
name, by the
one.
Way. If that's her given
name.
It's
a great name.
Even if not, it's a good name.
Including a song called Red Wine Supernova, which I told the wife is my second kind of alcoholic-based supernova. I'm always going to be a champagne supernova guy, but Red Wine Supernova, kind of... This chick can sing, dude. She can go. We'll listen to one or two during the break. We'll do a little review during the break. She can go. She was fantastic. But the more I listen to some more of her stuff, I'm like, yo, disco vibes a little bit. Disco vibe, like it's kind of vibey, right? It's got a lot of depth, a lot of orchestral depth to the music. Even some of her like sad stuff is still like kind of, you're like, oh, I should feel bad about not being sad to this jam. She's good. She's real good. I'm a fan. I jumped on board last night. All right, we got to talk about sports on the sports show, don't we? I forgot about that. I forget that's why we're here.
We just did. See, here's the thing. All things are tied into sports. The fact that...
Stupid White Sox! It's always you, White Sox! Yeah. This is why nobody likes you, Chicago!
Thank you. I mean, you try to take the sports out of something that obviously was partially a sports story. There's this thing. I don't know if you knew this. I don't know if you knew this, but the boss is a music guy, so we're probably all right. Now I'm trying to picture the boss disco dancing.
He grooves. He 100% grooved in the day. 100% he grooved in the day. Look at that man. That man, there's a caricature of him in his office with hair. That man 100% used to groove back in the day. Like grooved.
I don't
know. Like Rhinestone Cowboy
back in the day. I'll have to ask him later. Did they disco in Iowa? I mean, they did in Ohio, but I don't know if they got that far into the corn.
You guys had a whole disco, but you had the players in Ohio. So whole that was, I'd say the Ohio players were disco, or at least danced around on the fringe of disco, right? I'd say so.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show, 4 hours of sports and others talk and shenanigans coming your way. We got to get into a bunch of stuff. I am going to tell you today why I am NGL. A little nervous that Wake Forest could be the Vanderbilt to Clemson's Alabama this weekend. Not a joke.
Not gonna lie.
NGL.
Okay. It's. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes I like to speak in young people internet talk because it grabs attention, and I've never figured this out. It really makes some people very mad.
I'm not mad.
Not you. Not you.
My first thought was Nigel. What's Nigel have to do with anything? And then I realized it was, yeah.
Not you. I do it sometimes just because it's shit. Sometimes Lonzo
and I.
You and
I both know someone who gets mad about it.
Yeah. Sometimes Lonzo, not all the times, but some of the times, Lonzo and I like to do things just to poke the bear.
Nuh-uh.
Just to poke the bear. Just to poke the bear a little bit. So, anyway, Wake Forest could be the Vanderbilt to Clemson's Alabama this weekend. Yeah. There is one thing that they do exceptionally well. There is one thing that stands out about Wake Forest that I think can, not will, can be a bit of an issue for Clemson on Saturday.
It would not have the same impact if they were to beat Clemson.
That's not what I meant.
Okay, right now, we're not sure if Clemson's really back or not because of opponents.
I feel pretty good about him.
We'll see.
Feel pretty good about him.
I mean,
but no.
They're probably back, but I am not completely certain.
The claim here is not that the upset of Clemson by Wake Forest would be anywhere on the spectrum of upsets with Vandy, Alabama. What I'm saying is, this is a game that, like, all the money's coming in on Clemson. This is a game that, obviously, Clemson's a big-time favorite. This is a game, obviously, that Clemson, you can't lose this game, right? Much like Alabama can't go to Vanderbilt and lose to Vanderbilt. But maybe there's one thing that Wake Forest does exceptionally well that I think jumps off the page and does kind of take advantage of what Clemson's, I would say, primary weakness might be. So I'm going to tell you what that is coming up in a little while. I said yesterday on the show, I'll ask you guys today. I genuinely want to know from South Carolina fans today, A, are you watching the game tomorrow? And B, if so, what are you expecting out of the game tomorrow? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm on the show tomorrow. Noon to 4. Bet for the Cycle, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Available for free on the Odyssey app. And by the way, I got told that at the conclusion of football season, Bet for the Cycle will start airing here on the Fan Upstate, which is pretty dope. Noon to 4 on Saturdays. Anyway.
Really? So we get more of you?
More of me.
Wow. You didn't know you needed it.
But now you got it. Yep. You wanted the best. You got the best. That's a Kiss line. That's how they introduce themselves.
Yeah, people don't like them anymore. Apparently, Gene Simmons
Kiss?
Was...
No, Gene Simmons is a terrible person. Yeah, still Kiss.
Yeah.
No, he's just a jerk. He's not... I don't want to say he's a terrible person. He's just a jerk.
So you can get past that if they can rock?
Dude, I get... You know how many people I've gotten past that they're a jerk? I mean, that's... Like, whatever. It is the definition of separate the artist from the art. Right? Like sometimes, now there are lines you can cross where I can no longer separate the artist from the art.
Like murder and things like
that. Yeah, minor details. Like, yeah,
okay. It's not really minor now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the joke. That's the joke.
Yeah. I'm trying to cover you.
Are you guys South Carolina fans watching? Are you going to take time out of your day? I will be on the show tomorrow when South Carolina and Alabama kick off at noon. And there's a reason this game's at noon. Like, let's get this one out of the way early.
Going to be right there at noon watching this game for sure.
You're up against Mizzou in Massachusetts.
Wow.
So yeah, get this one out of the way early. All right. Are you watching the game? A and B. Realistically, what are your expectations tomorrow? What do you want to see? What can the Gamecocks do that tomorrow at 3:30? When you are put out of your misery by Alabama, what can the Gamecocks do that will have you call the show on Monday and go, Rob, I felt like it was a successful Saturday? What do they need to accomplish for you to call me or text me or tweet me or email me or Ray Memorial Hotline message me and say, Rob Brown, I'm a Gamecock fan and I feel like we were successful because blank. What's that look like for you? I want you to answer that question. I also want you to absolutely groove to the good vibrations. Feel the vibrations. Until we come back from this break on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. So, Gamecock fans, I asked the question. I want your answers, which you can deliver at 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. 844-FAN-PHONE. What would you say the Gamecocks need to do in order for you to call this show on Monday, to text this show on Monday, to tweet this show on Monday, to email this show on Monday, or to leave a voice note on the Ray Memorial Hotline on the Odyssey app on Monday and say, Rob Brown, I am pleased with the performance of my Gamecocks of South Carolina. What would they need to do for you to get in touch with Lonzo on Monday morning and say, we had a successful game against Alabama? Yes, I know the answer is win. But let's be honest. If the Gamecocks knock off Alabama on Saturday, which they will not, if they knock off Alabama on Monday, you will all be calling this show and throwing a whole damn party. But realistically speaking,
no, they'll be calling and see, Rob, you were wrong.
Yeah, you big dumb idiot.
Yeah, that's what they'll do.
You big stupid idiot.
Which we encourage you to do on that thing on the thing.
Which, by the way, that is exactly what we vote for the Ray Memorial text line. Available on the Odyssey app. Go to the Fan Upstate page, click on the microphone button, and leave a 60-second voice note.
Yeah, that little microphone button that you're supposed to know what it does, that thing.
Don't talk bad about it. We need people to use it.
Thank goodness we're on here talking about it because no one would know what it was if we weren't.
Go to the Odyssey app. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Once Vaust gets there, click on, there's a little circle microphone button. Click on that button. And when you do, it's going to allow you the opportunity to leave a little 60-second voice note that comes directly to me and the great one, Lonzo. What will it take to get you on the Ray Memorial Hotline, the phone line, the fan phone, renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone, the text line, the tweeter, or the email inbox, and say, Rob Brown, I am satisfied. I am happy with our performance. What do you want to see? We got Jacob on the Facebook stream who said, I need the Gamecocks to get 3 tutties against the Bama starters, and I need to see the defense have at least a 20% stop from scoring percentage while holding Alabama to 35. Honestly, I think that's fair. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I am more concerned about Alabama's defense in this game. I am very concerned about the offense because Jalen Milroe's a dude, okay? He's a dude. He will be in New York at the end of this year. I'm not saying he's winning the Heisman. I'm telling you he's catching an invite to the Downtown Athletic Club. The offense is going to be on point. I'm afraid for you for the defense of Alabama, which is a good, fast, hard-hitting, physical defense. And more importantly than that, it's a defense that is embarrassed right now. It is a defense that is embarrassed by their performance last week, by their behavior last week. In what is now, and I can say this officially, an edited version of former Alabama player Damon Harris's take on Malachi Moore specifically, but I really do think it translates to the whole defense. Let me tell you, no, let Damian Harris tell you how the former Bama players felt about his behavior, and I think the behavior of the Bama defense as a whole. That's Damian Harris, former Alabama Crimson Tide player. And I can tell you, as somebody, because I used to broadcast down in Florida, which was Alabama, I can tell you that the Bama fans feel this way as well. They're real ticked off about it. And it's not just Malachi Moore. Malachi Moore is the one that's catching the heat right now because Malachi Moore was the most, let's say, demonstrative of the gang. But the Bama fans as a whole are embarrassed right now. And they're letting this football team hear it. And in spots like that, football teams want to respond. Football players want to respond. Malachi Moore's going to want to respond. And if Malachi Moore wants to respond, you better believe the rest of that Alabama defense is going to want to respond as well. They're going to want to respond to the accusations that they were petulant, that they were immature, that they were undisciplined. We talked about this yesterday a little bit. We talked about it yesterday when I said, you know, I was disappointed in South Carolina, not for the L, but for the lack of discipline. And Lonzo pointed out, and I think accurately so, that a lot of the criticisms and critiques that I have placed on the South Carolina Gamecock program after their loss to Ole Miss, you could justifiably apply to Alabama's loss at Vanderbilt as well. And a much worse loss. A much worse loss. And I think it's fair to say this was a Bama team that the game plan was bad. They looked unprepared. They were certainly undisciplined. They, much like you, I hope, are going to want to respond. And on top of that, I would say there is more pressure for Alabama to respond to the allegations of no discipline, bad game plan, etc. Kalen DeBoer's got to respond with a better game plan. Why? Because he's got to prove that he's worthy of being the guy who follows the guy and makes a gazillion dollars to do it. The Crimson Tide football team as a whole has to respond. Why? Because they now have to, I think, prove to the College Football Playoff Selection Committee that this was just the biggest fluke in the history of flukes. They have to prove that they are still a playoff caliber team. They have got to prove that they are still a national championship caliber team. And allowing the South Carolina Gamecocks to even make a game of this game is going to do the exact opposite. Because all eyes are on Tuscaloosa, Alabama this weekend. How do they respond? And if South Carolina, who just got mollywopped by Ole Miss, if they even make this a game against Alabama, the playoff selection committee is going to look at Alabama and go, do you really think you're a playoff team? Do you really think you got beat on the road by Vanderbilt and then you allowed South Carolina to come to your house and compete with you? I mean, maybe you get some crumbs of credit because you were on the road at Vanderbilt. Kind of kicked the legs out for money if you did Nick Saban when he said that that's the one place in the SEC it's not difficult to play, right? But if the Gamecocks come to your house and make this a game, Alabama's argument to be included in the playoffs, if they are in the same discussion as a couple of other teams for maybe that 10, 11, 12 spot at the end of the season, if they lose the SEC title game, or if they don't play in it at all, that argument takes a big ding. So the pressure's more on Alabama than South Carolina, and you should be grateful for that. But what do the Gamecocks do to respond to the allegations of bad game plan, even with the bye week, lack of discipline, lack of execution? How do you respond when you know the team across from you is A, just better than you are, and B, has all the pressure in the world on them to respond to the criticisms they've been taking for a week since they lost to Vanderbilt last Saturday night? I want your thoughts, Gamecock fans. 71-307 is the text line. Start your text with Fan. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. This is bouncy. I like it. It's groovy. It's a tasty little lick. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you. Coming up on the show today, we got a lot we're going to get to. Next hour of the show, we got the water cooler cheat sheet at 7 o'clock straight up. Give you an hour to digest the biggest stories of the day before you get clocked in and locked in at work. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Kevin, John, going to join us here on the show from the Moving the Chains pod. And we're going to talk, we're going to set you up for the biggest football games at the high school level around the area, while also telling you there was a massive news story for high school football that broke earlier this week. And John, Jarrell, and Kevin will be coming by later on today to give us kind of an update and breakdown of what that is. At 8:40 this morning, we are going to be joined by Doug Irwin. He is the CBO of the Greenville Triumph. Greenville Triumph got mentioned on the Men with Blazers pod the other day, which is arguably, you know what it is? It's the Pat McAfee show of soccer fans. It's a great show.
It's those British dudes, right?
It's those two British. They're actually Americans now. They have become naturalized citizens. But
if you were first tuning in, I mean, if you,
yes, they're British guys.
Yeah, they sound like British guys.
Yeah, they're British guys. And they're great. They're great. It's a fantastic show. Anyway,
nothing wrong with being a British guy. I'm just pointing out.
Come on,
their
man.
Accents are not the same as what you're used to. Unless you're watching soccer, and then that's a normal thing, I suppose.
It is. They got the Triumph got mentioned by the Men in Blazers the other day, which is honestly pretty spectacular. That's big time.
In a good way.
In a great way.
Yeah.
When Ronaldinho, one of the greatest players to ever lace up the boots, goes up and rings the bell at the New York Stock Exchange, and you know they got that big LED board behind it where they, like, whoever company it is, they put it up there. They put up Ronaldinho's company up there, but they also put the Greenville Liberty and Greenville Triumph logos on the New York Stock Exchange LED board, which means the Greenville Triumph and Liberty logos were seen around the literal world earlier this week, which I think is pretty damn cool, to be honest with you. So we'll talk to Doug at 8:40 this morning about how this partnership came about and what it means for the Triumph, what it means for the Liberty, and what it means for footy here in the upstate. Looking forward to that. John, Jarrell, and Kevin, or some combination of them, will join us at 9 o'clock. And we got it official. You know, we got good news, bad news. The bad news.
Should we even tease?
Yes. Okay. I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited about it. We got good news, bad news for you wrestling fans. The bad news is that late last night we received an update that we will unfortunately not be joined by Pretty Deadly today, which Lonzo and I were very excited about it. We went from yes boy to sad boy real quick. But, unfortunately, and for the record, the reason Pretty Deadly can't join us is for a good one. The WWE superstars in town for tonight's SmackDown, which I am going to now, by the way. I decided, screw it. I'm buying the tickets. Let's go. The WWE superstars are in town.
Could have had a console. Just saying.
No, I bought the... We're... Not the ones. That's where we're sitting.
Yeah, but still.
We went cheap seats.
Cheap seats are not cheap.
Went cheap seats.
So, I mean, you know.
It really wasn't that bad. I'll just talk about it during the break. Point here is, the WWE superstars are in town, and during the day-to-day, they're actually going to be participating in hurricane relief efforts around the community. So we basically got told Pretty Deadly, unfortunately, scheduling conflict as they are doing some different stops to assist in hurricane relief. I can't really fault the boys for that. Quite the opposite. We greatly appreciate it. Pretty Deadly, fashion icons,
see,
and Good Samaritans.
That's the thing. I had questions, fashion questions, for Pretty Deadly.
You just asked me.
And I didn't read it. Anyway, I didn't read the text clearly to know who our... Oh, no. Now you know what happens when he does that. But it's like... Okay, you don't get them, but you're getting this person? Okay.
Not okay. Wait. Not.
I could ask her the questions.
Not.
That I was going to ask Pretty Deadly.
Not this person. This icon, this living legend, this one of the four horsewomen. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us today at 9:40 to wrap up today's show, the iconic Bailey will be joining us here on the show. Hashtag Hug Life. I'm keeping it around. It never died for me. I've always been Hug Life. I will always be Hug Life.
You gotta let
Bailey
go,
coming
man.
On the show.
She's not a hugger anymore.
I'm not letting it go.
She doesn't do that.
I believe in Hug Life.
She stabbed her buddies, those inflatable buddy things, like many years ago.
Listen, we all make mistakes. Okay, we all make mistakes. We've all done things we wish we could take back. I'd be willing to ask. Because I'd be willing to bet that if we ask, do you regret stabbing the wacky, wavy, inflatable arm tube man and killing the Hug Life? Do you regret that? I'd be willing to say, Bailey says, yeah.
I'd be take willing that one back. To say she's glad she did it.
No. No.
Do you want to bet on that?
No. I also don't want to do that. But I'm going to say no. Bailey's going to say, don't worry, Rob Brown. I hear you. I see you. I understand you. I'm bringing back Hug Life.
Yeah, Bailey. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think she needs to either.
Bailey joining we'll us in the very last segment of the show today is WWE SmackDown. By the way.
So if she were in studio, we're going to get her on the phone, but if she were in studio, would you ask her for a hug?
Yes. 100%.
Wow.
Listen, now, wow. No. Wait, hang on. Let me clarify this. I do want to point out, you have been around us as you are part of us.
I have been around us.
You have been around us.
Unless you're referring to yourself as the royal we.
You have been, Eddie, you have been around us for all but a couple of wrestling interviews that we have done so far.
Actually, only one interview I missed.
I think there was two, because there was one with that guy who shan't be named because it was the most disappointing
right,
ever.
The one
and I felt like there was one more.
I don't think so.
All right, doesn't matter. So,
when you did wrestling interviews when we weren't on the same show, you would have me come on.
Yeah, because I'm a good person.
Yeah, and
because I'm a good friend.
Yeah, that's the reason why.
Because I'm a good friend.
And you knew Diesel would be snoozing.
And that. So when we've done interviews in the past, I'm a dude that when I go in for the handshake, I kind of curl the hand up because I think societally we are getting to the point where the fist bump is slowly replacing the handshake. It's like evolution of a hand gesture.
If we could just get to the wave, I'm good. That's I'm good. And when we get to the wave, Yeah. Then we've reached utopia for me.
I think we are getting to the point slowly but surely where the fist bump replaces the high five, right? Like there's going to be a day sometime in the distant but not so distant future where a father is going to tell the son the importance of a good, solid fist bump, right? Because I don't know about you. I got handshake lessons when I was growing up.
I had those discussions with my son.
Sure.
I didn't have anyone have them with me.
Sure.
But that's fine. I mean, I pass that on. A solid fist bump, you're probably going to end up fighting. I mean,
no,
you can't do a solid fist bump.
No, yes, you can.
That's a punch.
Solid
fist bump is
you're
a punch.
You're so dramatic. No, it's not.
Says the guy with sunglasses on.
Reach over. I'll show you a good solid fist bump. Look, reach over here. That's
Dude,
not a punch. That's a good solid fist bump.
That hurt, by the way.
Oh, God.
You can't do that.
Somebody get Lonzo some milk. He needs some calcium.
Actually, I do. I probably do, and I'm slightly lactose intolerant. But the thing is, you do that to someone you just met, they're going to want to throw hands.
No,
they absolutely are.
I know they're not because I fist bumped and nobody's ever punched me.
He just took the opportunity to hit me. He's always wanted to do that, and now he finally did it.
Somebody hand Lonzo the Emmy for dramatic acting.
I can't feel two of my fingers.
Oh, Lord. Come on, man. You're making yourself look bad now.
By the way, do not listen to his advice. I've never had anyone fist bump me like what he just did. Maybe it's because people are like timid when
they do it. That's how Damian Priest fist bumped me. That's how he gave me the dap.
Yeah, I don't do that. So I didn't get
one. See, now it's a thing. Now it's a you thing.
Well,
now it's a you thing.
It's always a me thing.
Point here. Who are you? Me? There is, I think there's a movement, slow but sure movement, to replace the handshake with the fist bump down the line. And I, for the record, this is a This is a COVID response.
You call me knuckle on knuckle. So should it be like in between so you don't get that sort of thing?
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Good solid fist bump. Should be fist to fist.
I have never seen anyone do that. I really haven't.
I don't know what to tell you. Be around me more.
This is not a radio thing. This is a thing, and I've never seen anyone do that before. I've definitely never had anyone do that to me before.
Fist bump you?
Not like that.
I don't know what to tell you. That's how the pros work.
Do you do that with your wife? Do you fist bump her that way?
No, we don't fist bump.
Okay.
I don't fist bump my wife. Okay. I'm close enough that I enjoy...
Yeah, touching. I get it. That's fine.
So I think there will be a point sometime in the future as a response of COVID where a good solid handshake goes out the window and we're teaching the next generation about the fist bump. I think the fist bump takes over. And I don't have a problem with it, to be honest. Do you know why I don't have a problem with it? Because the one thing I learned during COVID is that some of you people are gross and don't wash your hands after you go to the bathroom. I work with some of you animals. I see you in bars.
Oh, here we go. Now we're getting that lesson again.
Wash your dang hands.
Yeah,
you are, psychopathic, gross ass barbarian people.
You are on the edge of arbiter. You know what?
Washing your hands needs arbiter.
Here's the thing, right? I do wash my hands, but I just want to point out that the Neanderthals that you believe in, the cavemen that you believe in.
Believe in? What do you mean believe in? That were a thing?
They did not wash their hands.
Yeah, you know what happened to them? They're not around anymore.
If we came from them, you believe, then they would have had to survive long enough for Rob Brown to
exist. There was a point up until the early 1900s where doctors wouldn't wash their hands between surgery. If your doctor came in and said, all right, time to get up in there, Zoe. Don't worry, I didn't wash my hands. You'd be like, you son of a...
No, because at that point,
you wouldn't.
I would have been knocked out with a hammer, which was anesthesia back then. So I wouldn't know what was going on.
The hypothetical slayer returns.
And then they would have
brought
in the leeches, which are just so clean.
Listen,
leeches.
The point here is, wash your damn hands. And the lack of hand washing.
That wasn't even part of the whole thing.
I'm circling back around. It's called the weave. I learned about it, okay?
Is that why your hair looks like that?
The point here is, I'm down with replacing handshakes with fist bumps because some of you are gross SOBs. I'm also down with the hug life. I'm down with the hug life, and I have Bailey to thank for that. Final segment of the show. Bailey's coming by. I know we're on it. I don't care. My man Kev gave us the phrase, going ham at 6 a.m. Kev, I got 60 seconds for you here on the show. Kev, you got 1 minute. What do you got, big dog?
Man, I'm telling you right now, the fist bump is going to replace it. Fist bump, elbow bump, a nice little bump.
Hell yeah.
All this gripping the hand thing, listen, man. I'm in the bathroom the other day. Dude is in there cutting off the lights in the stall in the inside and walked right out and didn't wash his hands.
Bro, listen, Kev, I don't like confrontation. I don't like calling people out unless they absolutely have to. I see you leave the pooper and not wash your hands. I'm calling you out loud enough for the whole damn hallway to hear it.
I don't believe you. I don't think you'd say
try
a
word. Me. Try me.
All right, let's go.
Try me.
I was a butcher for a long time, man.
Uh-oh.
So me and washing my hands is like second nature to me.
Kev,
your hands,
you
man.
You know what I was that made me wash my hands?
I'm afraid of Kevin now.
Kindergartner. A kindergartner. We teach our kindergartners how to wash. If you can't wash your hands every time you touch your willy, you're a bad kindergartner.
Hey,
forget adult.
Hey, do we need to go the willy way? I mean, you know.
That's what you're doing in there.
We don't need to do that. You don't. That's not necessary. That's a picture.
I could have said it way more graphically than that.
Yeah, you could have.
Kev, thank you. Thank you for being a good person. Kevin, I appreciate your efforts.
My God.
Good man. Kevin, going ham at 6 a.m.
Kevin used to be a butcher.
Wash your hands.
Kevin the butcher scares me. It really does.
And fist bumps are replacing handshakes. Fist bumps, 2024. Handshakes, so 2000 and late.
Now, on my list of butchers, Abdullah and then Kevin.
That's a good list.
It's a good list. I think so.
You know what else is a good list? People who do sports flashes. Number one, Lonzo.
At least in the building, because I'm the only one who does it. New York Yankees are back in the American League Championship Series after finishing off the Kansas City Royals in four games with a 3-1 victory last night. Kansas City finishes the season with 86 wins and 76 losses, while the Yankees await the winner of Game 5 between Cleveland and Detroit. Sometimes I've got to slow down. San Francisco 49ers knocked off divisional rival Seattle last night, 38-24. 49er quarterback Brock Purdy, also known as Brock Purdy, went 18-28 for 255 yards. Former Gamecock Deebo Samuel had 102 receiving yards and a touchdown in the win. San Francisco improves to 3-3, the same record as the Seahawks. Tune in tonight at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Gaffney to take on the Indians. It's Burns versus Gaffney right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, The Fan, Upstate.